This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 28, 2024, the fifth Sunday of Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I want to start this one out by speaking of something that is part of our human nature, and I mean physically. Usually when I speak of human nature, something needs to be corrected or something we have to watch out for. This is not the case. It is called selective hearing. It is part of our human nature, physical thing that we have. Selective hearing is a good thing for us. I mean, for instance, you can be in a crowded room and there's a whole bunch of people speaking around you and things like that, but you're having a conversation with a person. Your brain will focus on what that person says to the discounting of all the cacophony that's going on around you. We would be tremendously distracted. You couldn't hold a conversation like that. So selective hearing is actually something to give in that's it's good. The selective hearing I want to talk about today is the selective hearing my dad used to accuse me of having, rightfully so, time and time again. Those are times when we selectively hear what we want to hear because it's what we want to hear and not everything that's being said. That's bad if you're holding a conversation with a couple people. You know, you're paying more attention to this person than I am over here, and all of a sudden you miss a detail in the conversation right here because of selective hearing, and all of a sudden you're not even in the same conversation because you miss certain details. That can be detrimental. It's detrimental to the point of spiritually dangerous to play this game of selective hearing with God. What is the deposit of the faith? Is God Almighty through His Holy Spirit, who has revealed Himself to us in Scripture, the traditions of the Church, and the perennial magisterial teachings of the Church. We need to be attentive to everything that He says, not just things that we like, or to kind of ignore things that we don't like. I mean, it is very obvious in our day and age. I mean, some of your hyphenated Catholics, which means no Catholic at all, hyphenated Catholics who want to argue that, oh, the Church doesn't teach that cohabitation and abortion and missing Mass on Sunday without a good excuse, that those are mortal sins. No, they're not. I've never heard that before. That's because you haven't listened to what the Church has always said. Bishop so-and-so says this, Father so-and-so says that. You're selectively listening to Bishop so-and-so and Father so-and-so and negating what the Church has always taught. This is very dangerous when it comes to moral subjects like that. And you will have people argue till they're blue in the face that those aren't sins. It's not only their sins, they'll put your soul in danger. That's one category. But when we start playing that game with things that are absolutely essential to our very spiritual life being, like breathing for us in our human bodies. When we start playing that game with things that are so essential, and in this context of this homily, prayer. Prayer is the breath in our spiritual lungs. It is what connects us to God. It is that connecting point between the vine and the branches. Prayer. That's what keeps us connected to God. And when you start playing games with that selectively, that is, it's like if you start playing selective games with your breathing, your respiration, prayer is so essential for us. It is just like respiration. You know, do you get up in the morning and go, okay, I got to get my breathing rhythm down? You know, okay, now I got the sage set, you know, and then throughout the day, okay, am I breathing correctly? Yeah, you don't even have to think about it. That should be prayer for us. We should just pray all the time, constantly do it. But we need to pray rightly. And there are ways to pray rightly. Because what we're talking about here is conditions. I always say, anybody ever looks at you and talks to you about the unconditional love of God, run away from them, because they have just proven by that statement that they have never opened the Scriptures in their life. The Scriptures, God's revelation to us, He has revealed the conditions for our salvation. Do this, this what, don't do this, this will happen. Conditions. And prayer is no different than it. And because it's so essential, our Lord has gone out of His way to really emphasize how it is to be done correctly. And we cannot selectively hear about certain, a lot of people, and I talk to a lot of people in the context of this, well, I know God hears everybody's prayer. Well, that is true, and He does hear. But now, whether He listens to it is a completely different ballgame. Completely different. God listens to everybody because He loves everybody, and everybody He treats the same. That's a bold face out and out lie, sort of like the unconditional thing. He is not the cosmic Santa Claus that sits up there waiting for you just to ask Him for something. He's the doting old grandfather who just wants to give you everything to make you happy. God wants me to be happy. No, He doesn't. He wants you to go to heaven. And if He's got to make you unhappy to get you there, He will be more than willing to do that. Ask any of the apostles or the martyrs, any saint. We get to heaven by taking up our cross daily and following Him. But back in the context of the prayer thing, you know, we selectively hear things. He hears everybody's prayer. Like, for instance, in the Gospel today, Gospel of John and John's first letter. You shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's the gospel. 1 John. Whatsoever we shall ask, we shall receive from Him. Selective hearing. We love that. Hey, whatever I ask in His name. See, it says right in Scriptures. It says that. Both of those things are sentence fragments. Sentence fragments. In the gospel, before we hear, you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Before that comes, if, that's a condition, you abide in Me and My word abides in you, which means if you live a life commensurate with the faith you say you have, that is when you shall ask whatever you will and it shall be done unto you. The letter of John, it doesn't say whatsoever we shall ask, we shall receive from Him. It says whatsoever we shall ask, we shall receive from Him. Because, that's a condition, keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight, living a life commensurate with our faith. This is when you get the things that you want. And when I say get the things that you want, we should want, because we abide in Christ, what He wants. We ask for a lot of things. We ask for a lot of things, very well-meaning, tremendously well-meaning. There are other things we ask for that are just out of... I actually had a person... I get to hear all kind of nonsense. I actually had a person sit in front of me, 3 feet from my face, and said, I've been praying whether God wants me to leave my wife or not. That was an instantaneous response. Well, stop. Oh, stop. Because not only is he not going to answer that one, it's evil. But this guy was dead serious. That's what I'm praying about. Stop it. You're offending God in the most egregious of ways. You know, you got people running around saying this, and the guy was a Catholic. That kind of stuff is going on. Why? Because you ask Him whatever you ask, He'll give it to you. No, that's not the way it works. We need to pray in an appropriate manner. The way we pray has a ton to do with... not only what we receive, but how we understand what we receive or don't receive. The manner of our prayer. The Roman Catechism says, the manner of prayer is of the highest moment. That's kind of archaic English, but it means the quality of your prayer really dictates. And it goes on, if not performed in a proper manner, it is unavailing. No, it's not you. That's dogmatic. And why does the Catechism teach that? Because of what the Scriptures say in, for instance, the Gospel of John and in John's first letter. There is a certain way, and there are certain parameters in which you must pray. If you abide in me, the vine and the branches thing, then, and if my word abides in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. St. Augustine, actually speaking on this particular passage, says, if you look at the illustration, if a branch could really pray, all that branch would pray for is to get the good things from the vine, because that's where they get their life essence. Everything that they need to be a good branch and flower and have leaves and bear fruit and all that other good stuff comes from the vine. So if a branch could really pray, it would pray for nothing but the good things that come from the vine. It's the only thing it would pray for. And here we are, a whole lot smarter, hopefully, well, maybe some, than a branch. And we ask for all kind of stuff that I leave my wife. That kind of nonsense. Praying for something that's detrimental to your soul and the souls of other people. There's somebody going to pray for stuff like that. This is what our Lord means about abiding. Again, selective hearing. We hear the vine and the branches parallel. Okay, bearing fruit and being with the vine. Okay, let's move on. No, he interjects this most essential thing about prayer. This is how important it is. If you're not connected to the vine, your prayers are going to not be answered the way you want them to be answered. If we abide in the vine as his branches, we will, for one thing, if we consider, which, you know, when you pray, we really need to consider what we pray for. We need to consider it. By that, I mean, I'm going to touch on a couple things here. I need this, or I think I need this. I'm going to pray for it. There are questions you should ask yourself. For one thing, the manner of prayer. Our apostle friends actually ask our Lord, Lord, teach us to pray. Yeah, here, ask for things. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. All those things we ask for that we really want and are, you know, we should. But before we say that, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Honor. Then I'll ask for things. But when I ask for these things, I want them to be done in accord with that other part. God's glory and his will being done. Everything we ask for. So when you ask for things, those are a couple questions that you have in the forefront of your mind. That his name be glorified. Hallowed be thy name. How is what I am asking for going to glorify God? No shouting out or showing of hands or anything like that, because we don't do that around here. But think of things that you're praying for this week. Your own personal stuff, family stuff, jobs, whatever, whatever. Usually people got some pretty intense prayer things going on at any given time. Have you, for a moment, just one fleeting moment, gone, okay, I'm going to pray for this, but how would it glorify God if I got this? Ask yourself that question. Have you considered that aspect? Because the Lord says in the model prayer, hallowed be thy name. Everything we ask for, we should run it through the filter of, is God going to be glorified by what I am asking? Thy will be done. And whenever you see the will be done, all people get just kind of lose it. And they go into this subjective, abstract mode of, I wish I knew what God's will was. Open the Bible. He's revealed his will. It's in the deposit of the faith. He's revealed his will. Now, does that will manifest itself in a different, nuanced way for each and every one of us? Yes. But we know foundationally what his will. What is his will? Like I said before, for me to be happy. Wrong. For you to go to heaven. All right? Your salvation. Your salvation and the salvation of others. Again, the question stands about what you're praying for now. Have you for a moment, fleeting, thought, okay, I'm praying for this. How will this enhance my relationship with Christ? How will this make me grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? How will this more speedily get me into heaven or my neighbor? That's that thy will be done part. We need to inform our prayer life within these parameters. what our Lord has presented to us. This is His will. His will is your salvation. That's a no-brainer, should be, for most people. But we'll pray about things that we never take into consideration as to how it might benefit our salvation. Because some things we pray for might not. So this is approaching our prayer life within the parameters that our Lord Jesus Christ lays down, that we read about in Scripture, in the Lord's Prayer. And it's kind of interesting with John, St. John the Divine, his gospel is not even considered a synoptic gospel. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, synoptic gospels. John is off on itself. Because why? Because it's so divinity-oriented and spiritually-oriented, and you know, at times it can be really, really kind of esoteric. But in this particular stance, John gets more practical than the synoptics do. We get our Lord teaches us how to pray. Okay, say these words. John gets very practical. Yeah, when you say those words, you need to be abiding in the branch. And you need to be doing His commandments and what is pleasing in His sight. John takes it into a very practical realm in his writings. So our prayer is practical. Most people look at it just spiritually. And yeah, there is nothing really more spiritual that we do. But at the end of the day, we have to understand that there is a very practical sense in which it will be efficacious. Will it be effective or not? Because a good portion of the time, we lose sight of these parameters that our Lord gives us here. The formula that He uses, the glorification of God, and our own salvation. We lose sight of this. And we can't help it. We're human beings. We are, you know, kind of flighty when it comes to things like that. We don't really consider things. But we need to consider these things. Because I mean, there's really kind of three categories in which our Lord might not answer your prayer like you want Him to. One, He knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. He knows you better than you do. And sometimes He knows we will use what we're asking for wrongly. Maybe not initially, and it might be not a wrong thing to pray for, like that example I gave before. But for instance, I've been praying for this new job because I'm going to make twice the money that I make now. Of course God wants that for me because He wants me to what? Be happy. I didn't get the job. God didn't listen to what I said. He doesn't love me. He's not gracious or merciful. Why didn't He answer you? Maybe He knows you better than you know yourself. Maybe you get twice the money and all of a sudden you're, you know, getting that super awesome bass boat. Which is not wrong. Bass boats are great. Bass fishing is great. I don't want to get off on a tangent. It's great. But some people might take that and, oh yeah, it's such an awesome thing. Hey, let's go fishing on Sunday. Well, he's got to go to bed. Oh, come on, you just missed what? And all of a sudden, things like that. God knows what we might do with that stuff. They say, nah, I don't think so. You haven't really shown response. Some people, God knows how much faith we have. And if you don't have enough faith, maybe you start doing things that start to distract you because you've got all this extra cash now. You got all kind of free time. You got all kind of new toys. He knows that. Toys are great. I got more than I should. Okay, I'll be the first to admit it. But at the end of the day, if He doesn't want me to have something, I hope I don't get it because I want His will to be done. I love my stuff, but hey, first things first. So He knows us. He knows us, so he might not give you what you want. And it might be legitimate. Yeah, new job, more money. If He knows you're going to use it for the betterment of your family and for the betterment of charity and all this kind of stuff, like, yeah, you'll probably get it. Because you glorify His name, it's good for your salvation because you're giving and things like that, then He'll give it to you. But don't badmouth Him or grouse because He didn't give away what you wanted. He might know better. So sometimes He just knows us. Sometimes we don't know Him. And by that I mean, we don't know what He's doing. Because, newsflash, He's God and we're not. He's got His own time frame of doing things. He's got His own way of doing things. He's God. And you're not going to get Him. All right? The moment you think you do, there's a problem. Prime example. Praying for something that you know. You as an individual, you know that this is something you pray for. Everybody knows St. Monica, St. Augustine's mother. Everybody knows St. Augustine.
St. Augustine, he's like, how often do I quote St. Augustine? Very, because he's like one of the top 10. He's a huge deal, St. Augustine. He's St. Augustine now. For the first 30 years of his life, he was Augustine. He was Augustine the hot mess. The guy is uber intelligent, but he uses his intelligence in a completely wrong way. He's got an illegitimate child. His mom knows he's a hot mess, and she cries and prays for him day and day in and day out. One of the things that she's, St. Augustine, or Augustine, used to like go off for days on these little trips here and there and everything, and he would come back and he'd be worse than he was when he left. So every time the dude goes away, he comes back even more of a hot mess, even more of a burden on his mom's soul, making her cry even more because he just wrecked every time he goes away. And then all of a sudden, you know, this is just little trips a few days. He's from North Africa. Little trip here, little trip there, and everything. Yeah, you know, it always never comes back positive. Now he wants to go to Italy. He wants to go to a whole nother continent. He's going to be gone for who knows how long, because you're not jumping on the plane at wherever and going, you know, he's going to be gone a long time. St. Monica is on her face before Almighty God. Please do not let him go. Do anything you need to do to keep him from going to Italy. He's just proven time and time again, he goes away and it just worse. And please, God, no. Guess what? Augustine goes to Italy. And what happens while he's there? He's converted to Catholicism under St. Ambrose preaching. Years later, St. Augustine's praying, and part of that prayer was, Lord, thou didst then deny my mother's request in order to grant that which she had for so long continued to pray. We don't know how God's going to work. We don't know. Was it wrong for St. Monica to go pray? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. She should have. She should have been on her face before Monica because of her past experience with Augustine. She prayed that way, but God did not answer her. And she got even more than she desired. This is what I mean about we don't understand how he works. So keep praying about the wayward Catholic this and the way that, you know, this family member, he hasn't been to Mass in a month. Really, you know, and I snicker. It's bad. It's deadly. It's a mortal sin not to go to Mass for a month. He comes back. And okay, God answers the prayer and he comes back for a couple weeks. And then he goes off for another month. Then he comes back for a couple weeks. And he goes off for another month. And that's the rest of his life. Maybe sometimes God will answer in the way he did, like in my life, when you're out of the church for 30 years. Yeah, 30 years. And, well, what good was that? Because I really appreciate it now. Because away from it for 30 years. He has his own way of doing things. He knows how we approach it. He knows our frame. He knows what we need. And like I said, it's not wrong to pray for people like that. But if you don't get the answer, don't think God's doing you wrong. Think about St. Monica. So we don't know what's going on. And then there's this last thing. And this is a commentator statement. It is dogmatic. God often does not grant our entreaty because we do not deserve the grace. What? He loves everybody, but we don't deserve the grace. Or we don't deserve to be heard by him. Like I said before, yeah, he hears, but he ain't listening. Well, that's the Old Testament God who smote people and stuff like that. The new God, the loving, merciful God, he hears everything. He listens to everybody. That's not what the Holy Spirit of the risen Christ says. If we pray without devotion and faith, you will not get what you want. There are a lot of people living godless, heathen lives, and all of a sudden something bad. Oh, I got cancer. Lord, be Lord. You got no devotion and faith, he's not going to listen to you. Read James 1st chapter, verse 7. He will not receive what he asked for. Why? Because he has no faith. You need to pray with faith and devotion. You need to be abiding in the vine as a branch for him to do it. Because if you're separated, how is anything essential going to come from the vine if you're detached? And we detach ourselves from him by mortal sin. But we pray without devotion. St. James says, you are not going to receive what you ask for. If you are in mortal sin, unwilling to renounce the sin, which means you remain in that sin without going to confession, when you could waltz across that hallway or pull me aside, as long as I'm not celebrating Mass, and you can fix it. But if you refuse to do that, whatever the reason may be, I don't know if I'm perfectly contrite. I don't know if I have a firm purpose to amend my life. Well, you just keep wallowing in that, because the whole time you're in that position, God is not listening to your prayers. You will not renounce the evil. I did not say that God does not hear the prayers of people who sin, because he would be like out of business, because we all sin. We all sin, and he does listen to the prayers of a sinner who desires his mercy, who prays to him in their sin out of devotion and faith, that he will help them in that. What I'm talking about is the unrepentant mortal sinner, a person who doesn't care, just lives this life of trash. God will not hear them. There is probably no more succinct, explicit statement in Scripture. When Jesus cures the man who's been was born blind, the Sanhedrin, they keep calling him back to the Sanhedrin, keep grilling him. What did he do to you? Who was it? All this question. You know, I've told you a bunch of times. And he finally, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the man stands there. He goes, we know that God does not hear sinners. It doesn't get any more explicit than that. And there's a lot of other places in Scripture that say it. But that's so succinct, so up in your mouth. God does not hear sinners. Yeah, even the perfidious Jews, yeah, everybody gets that. He doesn't hear sinners. Again, sinners being people who live in unrepentant mortal sin, separated from him. He will not hear. Or if we lack perseverance in our prayers. Sometimes God doesn't answer because he wants to see, how much do you really want this? How much do you want it? Like the lady who's following him, Lord, help my daughter. Lord, help my daughter. That's prayer. What is prayer? Asking Jesus for things. And, you know, so she got to do it face to face. Lord, help me. He just ignores her. He ignores her. Why? You know, his apostle, send her away. Now she's bothering us. He's like, whatever. He ignores her some more. And he ignores them too. And all of a sudden, she gets what she wants. Why? Because she kept it up. We always hear, knock, seek, you know. It's not just seek, knock. It is keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. That is actually what would be the best English translation of those Greek words in the tense in which they're given. It's ongoing. God wants to see your perseverance. He wants to see how much do you want this? St. Monica, prime example. So when we look at this, you know, prayer is so essential as that connection point between the vine and the branches. And we never want to lose sight of the fact that we have to be part of the vine to receive the essential necessities of our life. And we need to act like that accordingly. So when we pray, you know, understand that the manner in which you pray is of the utmost importance. We got to make sure that all those parameters are there that our Lord has presented to us. And so when we do it properly, we need to be of the understanding that if I'm not getting what I want, I should be really good with that because he knows better. I'll leave you with the words of Father Spirago. He says, when you pray and your petition is not granted, do not ascribe this to unwillingness on God's part, but to the imperfection of your prayer, or to the poor use you would perhaps make of the grace if it were bestowed upon you. Act thus, and if you pray aright, God will give you some other gift far more worth having than that which you asked for. God is able to do all things more abundantly than we desire or understand. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.